Tonight's Sunday Big Brother recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Because if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with a term like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. That's why there's True Price from True Car. Now you know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including the fees and the accessories, before you even get to the dealership. And a True Car dealer will show you the true price on a car like the one that you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car will show you what other people paid for the same car that you want. And your certified dealer knows this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's all hopped up on some Miami cafecito. I gained 10 pounds. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sunday night, August 26th. Ready to recap Angela's nominations and a night of rude awakenings for Haley and Fessy and all sorts of debauchery from JC. We've got a great panel with us from our esteemed LFC. Of course, a man who is never misses a beat on the LFC. Mr. Taron Armstrong, how are you?
I'm getting fat, Rob.
No. Well, why are you bulking?
I am. I started the JC plan. He's very convincing, Rob.
Yes. All right. And here is a man who wished last week that I just want to see Fessy and Haley sit on the block this week. And the universe listened. He manifested this. Brent Walglott. Brent, how are you?
Not only did it listened in a big way because I got the HOH I wanted. I either wanted it to be Tyler or Angela to totally double cross Haley and Fessy and basically just give them the face slap that they needed. And they got one, and that's what I wanted.
They got it. They did. All right. So a lot to talk about from tonight's episode. Scott St. Pierre, he was here the other day in the studio, but he is flying back home tonight. So we will follow your questions later on the show. Hashtag RHAP. We won't be able to bring them up on the screen, but we will see them on Twitter, and we will be on the lookout for those later on the show. Of course, Summer of Stein coming up on Monday. So if you have questions for Eric Stein, I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about his Thursday night hanging out with Big Brother alumni and much more. Get those into the show, bigbrother@robhasawebsite.com, or leave us a voice message at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, or call us in 323-282-RHAP. But I guess let's talk through. It was also a coming out party for Tangela. Am I pronouncing it correctly, Taron, or am I supposed to say Tangela?
I'm going with Tangela. It's it just makes more sense. I'm sorry, Pokemon lovers.
Sorry. Yeah. Are you a Pokemon lover?
I've never played it in my life, honestly. You think, because I love games, but I've never done the Pokemon thing.
Yes. Okay. So, this was the rumored that, okay, well, they're really kind of shy talking about this in the diary room, Taron.
Right.
And we got to see really for the first time the show sort of acknowledging, okay, there is some flirtation there with Tyler and Angela. Were any surprises based on them talking in the diary room versus what you've seen in the house?
Not particularly. And I think the reason why they waited so long to show us is because of what we got from the diary room, which was both of them being like, we don't want to talk about this. Don't make us.
I'm not going to screw my game up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brent, what's Angela's problem? Wait, is she too? Is she just so game focused, or she is doesn't want to have a showmance on the show? What's her motive here?
I mean, I don't know. If I had to offer a little bit of conjecture, I think that number one, she realizes that Tyler is a formidable opponent in the game, and she is trying to wrestle with the fact that she might eventually have to get him out, that he may not be beatable considering some of the goodbye messages that she has left. I think also that she probably has, I mean, this might sound shady of me to say as somebody who has been in trash here two once in my life.
Here we go.
She has a little bit of class. And so she's not going to go romping around with some guy, you know, while the cameras are rolling.
Oh, that
some
was hardly
in the house. I know.
Right? On the radar for you.
Well, I know. But I feel like that there are a variety of reasons. I feel like the spoiler Vegas for sure said that at various times, Angela has stated in the diary room that she realizes that Tyler is a threat and that that's going to be her big move, getting him out of the house. But now that she's become closer to him, I feel like, as you can see tonight, I mean, she barely likes Haley and Fessy. And she struggled with breaking that deal to put them on the block. So I don't even know how she's going to eventually deal with backstabbing Tyler if that day comes.
Okay, so we have that out in the open on the show. And while love is blooming for Tyler and Angela, it was love on the rocks. Ain't no surprise for Haley and Fessy. And this was one of those things where we all saw this coming a mile away back from the Scotty HOH week. Brent, Fessy came into this episode so optimistic.
It was really so nice to see. It was like, oh yeah, it's like childlike dreams. Like he thinks everything's gonna be okay.
It all
you
worked.
Can start. Yes, you can start playing Big Brother on day 60,
that was so
whatever,
easy.
And it'll all work out. The Taryn, the best part of this episode and watching it on the live feeds was that Rob, they never even entertained the notion that Fessy would be on the block. I mean, every time Angela was saying, oh, you know, I might put up Haley, but she would only be the pawn, she wasn't lying. It's just that the target was completely different in Fessy, and that never, ever entered either one of their minds until it was too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing that you have to do when watching the show is realize that the way that they've edited Haley so far is they are going to go as far out of their way as possible to give her as much credit as possible. Mm-hmm. And so in this episode, they did their absolute best to make it seem like maybe she was alluding to the slight possibility that maybe Fessy would go up on the block next to her by like, well, I know I'm going on the block. It's just a matter of who I'm sitting next to. But she had no idea Fessy was going up there. They never once entertained the idea. She thought it was going to be Sam, and that meant like, oh, if she's up next to Sam, then will she be going home next to Sam? Will Sam be going home? Like, what is going to be going on there? She did not see it coming that that herself and Fessy would be up there.
Yeah, they've really painted Haley as this, you know, oracle warning of this is, I have a bad feeling about this. I don't think this is right. I think that, you know, I need to talk to them. And we got a lot of Fessy telling her things like,
Haley, you know, I got you. Let your man take care of this.
Yeah, I got this. Yeah. You know, she did get a very positive edit in all that. But yeah.
not only tonight, but previously on Thursday night, even throughout the week on Wednesday night. I mean, it was absolutely fiction the way that they have edited Haley in the house. Look, here's the thing. Here are the things that are true. At various times, she has had bad feelings about, you know, whether it's a good idea to put Scotty up on the block. Should we have evicted Scotty? Should we have supported that? Is this Final Four deal with Angela and Tyler, is that real? Am I going to go on the block? Or who am I going to go on the block with? But, I mean, consistently and most of the time, she has no idea what's really happening within the game. And she never pushes back on bad ideas. Fessy has a bad idea. Caitlin has a bad idea to put Swag in the block. She might realize, maybe it's not a good idea, but she'll even not only say things, she'll even go about it in a way where she's trying to be positive toward them. Like, yeah, you should put Scotty up on the block. Yeah, you should, Caitlin, put Swaggy up on the block, even though she'll say later on, I think it's a really bad idea. So she is this really terrible, frustrating mix of, like, it seems like at various times she knows what the right move is, but she never, ever executes it. And that's the difference between her and the members of Level 6. They execute well.
Okay, let's go back to this HOH competition, because we didn't get to see it on the feeds, that it we didn't really get to see too much of it on the live show. So this is really our first opportunity to discuss what's going on there. Brent, for my money, they could put this competition out to pasture.
Yeah, this one was workshop it, as we say. I mean, I think it had all of the possibilities of it being something that is inviting to watch on television, but it just wasn't very well done from a aesthetic standpoint. When you're looking at it, it's like it's got a lot of bells and whistles, but there's nothing to it. It's very shallow in terms of your absorption as a TV watcher. And I think it really spoke poorly of it, the fact that like only one person locked in a number and they eventually were declared the winner. So and as Taryn and I were are trying to watch, because they didn't show this on the feeds at all, it broke down two or three different times. And that was the whole point of the exercise, was to get the house guests, you know, tired and running back and forth and trying to collect stuff. But at various times, they had the opportunity to rest while the show fixed various things that had broken on the conveyor belt. So I don't think we're ever going to see it again, Rob.
There were a few things wrong with this, I think. One was their absurd time limit. This whole you have an hour and the highest score after that wins. That completely defeats the whole purpose and ruins all of the tension of the entire thing, because what made this competition interesting was watching the close calls of, are they going to get it in the hole? Because that's what you need to do to win the competition. When there's a deadline and it's just going to like fall off, and like, is it falling off at the right place? It's like, it's not interesting. And then also the obstacles, the lollipops, the candy canes, they made it so most of the balls didn't even get to the end. So again, it's like, it just wasn't fun to watch. It was just like, did they get it through? Oh, they did. It was very, very boring. They really screwed this up.
Yeah. The viewer couldn't see whether or not a candy cane or a lollipop was coming. So I don't think that worked from a television perspective. I think they were trying to put a different spin on the old, you know, curvature, roll the ball down and try to get in the perfect shot. But I feel like they had it right the first time.
Yeah, it's being able to watch the ball as it's like, oh my God, is it going to? Oh, it did. That's the exciting part. Not like, oh, look, it stopped halfway again.
If they did this on a Thursday night, it's like, and then, okay, all right, here's Casey. This is Casey's attempt to roll the ball. And then just everybody had one shot at this and you did it on the live show. I do think that that would be just as interesting as anything else they did, like the HOH that Caitlin won. But in terms of this being sort of a prepackaged thing, and then you have the tokens and you can give the tokens to other people, I feel like that's just inviting trouble. It wasn't as bad this season as it was in Big Brother 19. And you could probably say that about many, many things, but it was just something where, you know, you're inviting disaster, Taryn.
Yeah. And again, it's just, it's, I talked about this morning, but it's just like, it confuses me that they can have, you know, veto competitions that last upwards of 10 hours. But they need to cut this HOH competition down to an hour total when it's meant to go longer than that. Like, if they're going to cut it down to an hour time limit, they might as well do what you're saying and just have them each roll once, because it's essentially the same thing. They're trying to like go halfway and it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I think that would be fine if they included, hey, tune in Sunday night. And I feel like that Big Brother Canada has done this quite a bit, where it's okay, it's the Sunday night show, but we're going to see, you know, have Julie pick things up and say, okay, tonight we're going to find out the HOH, then have everybody take their turn and just have Julie hosting that competition.
I don't know if that's a good idea. Taryn and I don't like that. We absolutely hate it when they hold something over.
Why?
Until Sunday night. Because it just feels like they're so behind. I mean, we're waiting for a competition to finish that we already know by then. We already know who the HOH is. We know who the nominees are. We know what the veto is, and we know what's likely being done with the veto. By the time they're even showing us the end result of the HOH,
what's the difference if Julie's there or not?
It just doesn't. I don't care if Julie's there or not, but I feel like that generally I don't care for competitions for HOH to be concluding on Sunday unless it's an endurance competition.
I've generally felt that the producer seeming need for content on Sundays to be one of the most damaging things to the show, because I don't think they do need content for Sundays. They have, they usually have, that's usually the bulk of the content for the entire week is the Sunday episode, because that's the stuff that happens before nominations. That's where the majority of gameplay comes in. But every single year they feel like they need to add a bunch of twists and hold things back and make sure they have content for the Sunday episode. And I really feel like it's very damaging.
Taryn, do you think that if they would have the episodes on, I mean, it used to be that Big Brother was on Saturday night, so they used to have a shorter turnaround from Thursday night to Sunday. But do you feel like that maybe having another day to space things out would actually help with that, so they would have more stuff from the house to be able to put in that Sunday night show?
I mean, maybe. Really, they're only showing from Thursday night post-eviction to, you know, Friday night at best. So they have like a 24-hour period that they're showing on the Sunday night episode. I don't think it's really a matter of time. I think it's just a matter of, like, they don't have confidence in their own product without a big competition set piece or anything like that. And I really, they don't feel confident in, again, their own product. And it's unfortunate.
I feel Rob, that's when there's the most happening in the Big Brother house is before nominations. There's a lot of different possibilities in play. I mean, once nominations are set, I mean, it's just like, well, let's see who wins the veto and then, you know, we'll figure it out from there. There's nothing to be talked about. But before nominations are named, that's when everybody is talking. The paranoia is high. I feel like Taryn has it right that it's their product and they don't believe in it. And I also kind of feel like they're a little bit lazy at times where they're like, well, we gotta, as long as we have a competition to show on Sunday, then we know we can fill the time. And you know, if they don't have that, then they actually have to look for interesting content. And it is there, though.
Yeah, we're getting off the track here in this Big Brother think tank. I want to say in Big Brother 15, I think they tried to do a schedule. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, and then I think they dropped it. Like the ratings were bad after like 2 weeks, and then they went back to the Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday schedule. But who knows? Something to think about for the future. All right, but somehow like Celebrity Big Brother was on like five nights a week, and we were able to make that work. Okay, so anyway, we get Angela as the new HOH. She didn't want to do it, and she was trying to figure out what she could do this week because she didn't want any blood on her hands. She wanted to get off.
I would much rather get out of this week scotch-free, but...
Get out of this week scotch-free, Scotch. Brent.
Very anti-tape.
Oh, what the hell? Like, that didn't even make sense. The one thing that they left out, and I thought they were going to show it because a lot of times in recent years, the show has been upfront about what the house guests are thinking about behind the scenes things. And the one thing that they left out about the Tyler and Angela conversation when she was talking about who to put up was I think that ultimately she would have put up Haley and Sam, and she could have probably talked everybody into going along with that. Except for maybe JC. However, Tyler, even though he told her, I'll support you in whatever you do and I have your back, after that point in the conversation, he was like, well, remember that Caitlin messed up her bonus life, and that means there's probably going to be a battle back. And if there's a battle back, that means that somebody like Scotty or Bailey could be coming. And even if we keep our word to Haley and Fessy this week, which you know they consider doing, then when the person from the battle back who is going to be a Falte person comes back, then they're going to have a threesome. They're going to say girl bye to Tyler and Angela and going on about their merry way. So that was, if there wasn't the likelihood of a battle back, and Tyler is a smart Big Brother player and he knows his history, he knows there is a high likelihood of a battle back. If that wasn't in play, I think Angela might have put up Haley and Sam. But given the fact that somebody from Falte is probably coming back into the game, and if they don't take a shot at them now, there could be three of them in the house at Final Eight. I think she had to take the shot, and that's why he pushed her to do it.
Well, let me just give the opposite argument in here just for devil's advocate, Taryn, because when Sam won HOH on the week that the bonus life had to be used, you know, we got on her case and we're like, oh my God, what an idiot. She knows whoever she's going to put up is going to come back into the house. Why did she get so much blood on her hands? She could have got off scotch-free and not even had to work this HOH. So do you feel like that Angela and Tyler should have maybe thought of this like a reset week and, you know, to go after an easy target like a Sam so that they could keep that Final Four deal with Haley and Fessy going for another week should one, you know, in the event that one of them would return pissed off to the house?
Definitely not. Because if it's a battle back, every single one of the people who has gone is a Falte member. And the second a Falte member comes back, you bet a dollar on the fact that, that if Fessy and Haley are dropping, Tyler and Angela immediately for, Bailey, Rockstar,
you're
Scotty.
You're looking at this too logically. Falte will come back and target the other Falte members. The more Falte in the house, the more dangerous it is for Falte.
I mean, that's true. It's true, but it's not worth taking the risk. And it's not like there's no, you know, you have to take a shot at their numbers while you can. You can't keep pushing your luck and hoping that you can create more miracles.
Yeah, the problem too is that, I mean, you know, even if she doesn't take a shot at them and put Fessy and Haley on the block, she was probably, I mean, she's going to have to name a pawn with Sam, and it's probably going to be Haley. So that's the same as kind of breaking their deal anyway.
But Haley volunteered.
Yeah, but she didn't really want to. I mean, that we can talk about that whole thing. That was just so badly played from Haley's side of
now,
things.
Was it edited correctly? Did you feel like that we were seeing things as they were?
Yeah, I mean, at one time Haley did volunteer to go up because she felt it, but that was because of the celebration that she caught. She saw that the four of them were celebrating. Yeah. And again, it's like the light bulb goes on. Oh my God, these four are working together. But, you know, she had that conversation with Scotty last week where she was like, these four people are working together. Maybe the sides from the first side, from the first week of the house are still intact. And then she totally forgot about it. It's like she consistently loses the plot of what's happening in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, Taryn, I did feel like Haley, when she goes to Angela and is like, hey, look, I'll go up on the block. I don't want to, but I think she feels like a little bit more in dire straits, where Fessy is much more like, I got this. Listen, no, we don't need to go up on the block. I think that Haley seemed to know that the walls were closing in, like something wasn't quite right. And I think she was just trying to throw herself on Angela's mercy with that.
Yeah, I mean, what should be increasingly obvious to her, and what I think is becoming increasingly obvious to her, especially after catching all of level six celebrating together, is that Brett is not going up on the block. And if Brett is not going up on the block, that means she's going up on the block. She thinks it's as a pawn, but she also is very pessimistic and thinks that if she goes up as a pawn, things will change and she'll end up going home because Sam is useless. That's her worst fear right now. And so she is thinking, okay, I'm going up as a pawn anyway. Here's how I tried to do my best to prevent Angela from eventually turning on me this week. I'll offer myself up. I'll seem very cooperative. I'll, you know, give them a favor so that they'll want to give me a favor back. But of course, as Angela says, it's far too little too late at this point. And, you know, it's she's going to go up next to Fessy no matter what she does.
I want to ask you, like, for real, because we've never really talked. We talked a little bit last week on the roundtable, but at that point in time, it hadn't yet, you know, Angela had not become HOH yet, and all the chickens hadn't come home to roost for Haley and Fessy. Where was this self-preservationist Haley before, when Scotty was not on the block? Where was she? I mean, she willingly went along with the plan, even though the show is trying to tell us otherwise, to put Scotty up on the block and leave Angela totally untouched. And I know that, yeah, she did catch them celebrating, but even before that, she did not feel good about somebody like Angela winning HOH. She did not feel good about this overall. She felt like she doesn't have anybody in the house other than Fessy. How could she have let this happen?
I mean, I really think it was that at the start of last week, she got a little tipsy, and she kind of got a little confused about what JC was saying in terms of Scotty, and Scotty has a crush on you, and like, no, he doesn't. Oh, he does though. Doesn't he? And she just got like a little, her head was out of the game, and she was thinking more about like, the whole Scotty and Fessy situation, and is Scotty playing me? Can I trust him? Am I playing him? Am I leading him on? And she just kind of let things happen. Whereas now things are a lot more clear. It's a lot more binary. It's either I'm going home or I'm not going home. So she tries to kick it into gear by volunteering to go on the block. So, you know, she's going
to
hate it.
It's just frustrating to me as a fan, because she had somebody who, she may not know a lot of things, but she knows that Scotty will not nominate her. Okay. She knows that. And yet she willingly lets him go onto the block and walk out the damn door in place of somebody like Angela, who she has virtually no relationship in the house whatsoever. It's just, I just want to scream, because I feel like this girl has potential, but I feel like she's immature. Like she was cast as a 21-year-old, Rob. Mm-hmm. I feel like she should have been cast as like a 24-year-old or 25-year-old. Wait till Big Brother 25 to put Haley on the show, because she doesn't know what she's doing.
I mean, she could come back. She could have the Nicole Franzel and come back in a couple seasons, and then
the show likes her enough that, I mean, the way they're editing her, mm-hmm. That they feel like that people like her and people identify. I know my mom, she's the first-time Big Brother watcher. She identifies with Haley. Oh, that poor girl, Haley.
Here's
she's fighting to get the big
This is what needs to happen. when she gets out of the house, she needs to have nothing to do with Fessy and talk about how she too realizes that Fessy is a big dumb idiot. I think that when she does that, then Twitter will stan her. People will be excited. It'll be like a Mark and Elena thing if they try to stay together after the show, Brent.
Oh, okay. I can get on board with that. And we can talk about how they feel now that they've seen their pictures on the wall, how both Fessy and Haley are feeling about things. But I feel like they might be on to the fact that they both
come out of the house, Taryn, and then also make fun of Fessy and talk about like, oh, my God, don't even say Fessy. I'm so embarrassed. Oh, my God.
Rob, we have spent a lot of time making fun of Fessy over the course of the season, but I think that is the most dangerous thing you have said yet. I think that if Fessy listens to this, he will be at your front door.
Rob, take it back. Say that she needs to say she loves me. That's what she needs to do to be popular.
A special shout out to Fessy, who's watching the Sunday, August 26th episode of Rob Has a Podcast.
Just wait, Rob. You know, a couple months from now, you're going to be like looking to the side like, actually, I retract my statement about Fessy and Haley. They should be together forever. They love each other. That's going to be you in a couple months. And you're going to be like, Taryn was right.
Want to give a shout out to Fessy. Hi, Fessy. I'm Rob. Me and my friend Eric are the guys that got those calls to you on Book Cameo to send us messages. So sorry about that again.
They're saying in the chat, he's going to be like, who flipped? who turned Haley against me?
It's me.
It was definitely not Rob Sesternino.
It was Rob. Okay. Let's talk about JC, because he was so much fun tonight. And yes. He had he was just all over the place. And I was so tickled by the whole montage about JC has a strategy that nobody has ever tried before. He is like the witch in Hansel and Gretel. He is trying to fatten up all of the house guests, not so that he can eat them, so that they will be so fat that they can no longer compete in the competitions. This is what JC was saying.
Come on and get nice and fat, my sweeties.
God, this is embarrassing.
I was laughing this whole segment long.
All right. Taryn loved it. Brent said it was embarrassing. Okay. Taryn, give us why did you love it?
It was just so with JC and like his like evil laugh, not only in the diary room, but like literally as they're eating ice cream in the house, he's like, like his little smirks every time they eat food.
I mean, from my point of view, I have had it up to here with JC's laugh. Like, it was fun the first, second, third time.
Was that an accurate representation of JC?
Yeah, well, basically, okay. I mean, he does talk like him in the diary room a lot, and I'm just over it, man. There's no part of me that believes this is a strategy. This is what we call a bit. This is like the tall and the short of it, where they're hamming it up. I think it's a bit.
Winston on Twitter said tonight, every day JC would make a pizza and leave it on the counter. And then Caitlin said, he would put like 10 liters of soda on the counter, too, and walk away.
It's a terrible strategy. They still look hotter than anybody I've ever seen. I mean, have you looked at Tyler and Brett lately? Angela, she looks like a goddess. What are you talking about? This is not even if it's a strategy, it's not working. And by the way, the sounds during that.
I know. They really boosted the.
It was ridiculous. I'm not even sure what happened. I can't even laugh at it because I literally muted the entire thing. I can't stand stuff.
Well, no wonder why you didn't like it. You had it muted.
All I heard was like you're going to be lesbian fatties whatever. Fatty color.
That was a different thing. That he was training them. Like he says, you are going to be my trained seals. And he was throwing like Reese's pieces to them like they were E.T.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that part. Yeah.
He was giving them all nicknames. And then this was lower thirded that he gave Casey the nickname, and your name will be Lesbianist.
Oh yes, yeah, Lesbianist.
It's really out of control. He's it's just all over the place.
Hey guys, I made some Colombian coffee.
Yes, he said. I don't know. Is any part of this like dirty play, Taryn? I mean, he took he put cups of sugar into the coffee.
It in.
He says, "I make you Miami cafecito."
Haley was at one point talking about putting eye drops into the coffee, but JC beat her to it. He just shoving the sugar in. It's a secret recipe.
But by the way, what the hell was JC talking about? I'm the only fit one here.
Come on, don't be.
I'm not. I'm talking. There are other hot people in the house besides you, JC. What the hell is he talking about? Like, it didn't even make sense. Like, Rob, come on. Like, I can't. I felt stupider for having watched that segment.
Oh, it's so funny. It was so funny. And then just him like be working against Fessy in the diary room, plus all of this. It was so great. JC Taryn, I have a warm place in my heart for him.
Yes, I love like that he's not only like great to watch in the game on an entertaining standpoint to watch in the game strategy wise. He's fun to watch in the house as a character. He's also fun to watch on the show as a character and on the show as a strategist. And he's actually a pretty good strategist. Yeah. I think he really checks all the boxes here.
Yeah, Brent, I want JC to win.
Well, I mean, like, that may be okay, here, let me separate a couple of things. I actually, as a player, I enjoy him very much. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to, like, be entertained by him in the diary room making fun of Fessy and cutting the strings of his big dumb puppet, mainly because I disagree with the decision to get rid of Fessy in the first place. Mm-hmm. I feel like he should have made the jump last week. When he had the opportunity, I feel like he's about ready to run out of runway. And if, as we'll talk spoilers later on, but he does not, I do not feel like JC feels great about his positioning in the house as it currently stands, if these nominations stand.
Brent just doesn't have faith in the fact that we're just weeks away from all of the contestants being too fat to stand up to JC.
All right.
Yeah, that final three endurance competition, JC's going to be the only one that can stay up there. Everybody's like, oh, so
bad. And then the final, what did the juror say? They're going to be like, oh, where's my muffin? Where's my hot dog? And JC.
He's making some gross stuff also. He's like, I make spaghetti with meat sauce and hot dogs. Like, whoa, what is this?
What
a gross food competition?
Eat. That looks terrible.
You look so thin. Eat. Come on.
I just threw everything, some random things into the pot.
But he did not just say that Fessy was dumb at the end of the episode.
My plan continues to work week after week. And my big fat puppet has no idea.
He called him my big fat puppet now.
I don't know. Look, it's fun to watch him laugh and hoot and holler in the diary room and give his witch cackle, but he's going to get his, and I'm going to be laughing about it when it does. I'll just tell you that right now.
Are you going to make him a healthy dessert, but then actually it will be loaded with fat and calories? Is that what you'll do to him?
Well, it seems like that would be his worst nightmare. So I don't know. It's a possibility. The thing about JC is that he thinks he's the brains, and he's not the brains. And it's just like with Fessy last week. I can't stand listening to people, and this is ironic coming from me, but who think they're smart. Who act like they're, at least I know I'm not, okay? At least I know that I can be biased and say things that are not completely accurate at times. I own that. But these people, they actually think that they're smart. So whatever.
Yeah. Brent, this is a question from L Anonymous. Why is Brent such a JC hater? Wasn't he on his draft team?
He is on my draft team.
He's like the only person left on Brent's draft.
I know. Like, I had my friend Karen from the Patreon group say, why do you hate JC so much? Like, look, I mean, like, there are many things to hate about JC. I feel like in some ways he's like the worst stereotype of gay people at sometimes in the Big Brother house with, you know, his touching and fondling and things that he does. Mm-hmm. Also, his politics don't necessarily agree with me. However, as a Big Brother player, and as you saw from the Stockwatch last week, I feel very good about his Big Brother game, but he needs to know when to jump at the right time. And I do feel like in some ways he's just sort of going along with the flow to get along and anybody but me, and that ain't gonna work with a four-person alliance in the house.
Are there trades allowed on the draft picks?
I can sell, but I cannot
trade. Not Stockwatch. I'm talking about our draft.
The draft. Oh, no, well, no.
I'm interested, hypothetically, Brent, if I offered you Brett from my draft team for JC straight up, would you accept that trade?
Yes.
Okay.
I would.
I'm not doing it. I'm just asking that I feel like that is a good measuring stick.
I have more confidence in Brett's ability to sniff out when he's in trouble and when he's not. Number one. Number two, I have more confidence in Brett's ultimate ability to win these competitions from the final six on than JC ever could. I feel like JC's gonna, he just has a natural expiration date, JC, in the Big Brother house with the kind of competitions that are coming up and what he can win.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go back to when we saw Angela and Fessy have their conversation while Angela was curling her hair. We still got up to the morning of the nominations or the afternoon of the nominations, and Haley and Fessy have a conversation that I felt like I could relate to.
Sam, how are you doing this morning? Is that a better question?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
What?
See, she said, I'm fine. But Karen, she was not fine.
No, this is
fine.
Well, I don't know about you, Rob, but whenever I hear somebody say they're fine, I just take them at their word, no matter how they sound.
No, it's actually that the longer the word fine is stretched for, that's actually the worse it is.
Fine.
And it also could be the opposite. I'm fine. You know, if it's very short or a long fine, both are bad.
Yes, I'm picturing the First Lady of podcasting trying to how long is the fine? I don't know. I feel like I get into trouble. I feel like with guys, like, it's different. Like, I'm just like I'm pissed right now, okay? I'm pissed. Like, I would not be like, I'm fine. Like, I just, you know, that's passive aggressiveness. It just doesn't become me. But yes. I feel like that's true.
It doesn't become most people.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So Fessy's like, don't worry. I'm going to go up and I'm going to talk to Angela. And,
well, he really got that sorted out, didn't he?
Yeah. And Fessy, Mr. Tough Talk Brent, he got up there and then really, you know, his tail was between his legs.
Yeah, it was really sad to watch. And not only
okay.
that.
Oh, you're going to put her on the block? Oh, okay.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, he said nothing. He said nothing. No. And I think, and I don't know, Taryn, maybe we can talk about this. I think at this point, it might have entered his, like, the back of his consciousness that I might go up with her. Like, maybe you disagree with me, but I think at this point, because he did not fight her hard at all. He was like, oh, okay. Well, and not only that, she would not look at him during this conversation. She would not even face him when she was talking with him. I have to feel like in the back of Fessy's mind, he might have thought, okay, I don't want to push too hard because I don't want to go up with her as a joint nominee. What do you think?
I don't think so because okay. Like he came away from that conversation like, okay, Haley, you're going up, but don't worry, we're totally cool. Like you're going
to
be safe against.
I feel like he was just saying that to himself. But maybe I have tried to assign intellectualism and smarts to Faute all year long. That's just not there. So you may be right.
Now we didn't get to see a lot from Sam's perspective in the episode. Taryn, was Sam in the loop on all of this, that okay, it's going to be Haley and Fessy going up, don't worry, but they think you're going to go up?
Tyler eventually told her it was going to be Haley and Fessy. She was like, oh, I thought it was going to be me, and he's like, no, don't worry about it, it's going to be fine. And
she always thinks it's going to be her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, not, she didn't really have much to do.
Yeah. Yep. And we end up with Angela putting her nominations into the key block. And then first it was Haley, and then it was Fessy, and then once again, Brent, we get a scorched earth speech.
This was great. Number one, I had tweeted out beforehand that I wanted her to put Fessy's key in the box second so that his picture came up second on the memory wall to get the ultimate face crack moment. And then she said the very same thing in the house, like, I want to say 6 hours later. And I was like, yes, queen, yes. And then she nominates them both together just like I wanted, gives a speech just like I wanted. I would have liked a little bit more piss and vinegar, but mm-hmm. She did fine. And then this is where we're at right now. And she basically told him, you came to me late and I don't believe you, and the deal we made was not worth the paper that it was printed on. So you know, I think I'm glad they got a great shot of Fessy's face when his picture came up on the memory wall, because that was the ultimate eye-opening experience for him to realize, you know what, I've been had by these people. And we can talk more about that as we get into spoilers.
Tarrant, have we witnessed just the slow evolution of Brent jumping ship from Faute to become a Angela stan, to when then on finale night they get to the final three and then she cuts Tyler at the final three? Brent is cheering and going nuts.
Yeah, as soon as Angela became Ice Queen Angela, I was like, Brent, what are you talking about? This is everything you love in a character. And he's like, no, it doesn't make sense. But he's coming around now. The other side has disappointed him enough that he's finally starting to appreciate Ice Cold Angela.
She was the lampshade, and now...
I don't call her that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't. There's only one piece of furniture left in the house, and it's not named Angela. So I'm here for it. I will say this, though. This is not a spoiler, but after she gave that speech and put in those nominations, then she basically ran up to the HOH room and hid for a while, like a long time. If I'm going to stand an Ice Queen, I need you to come out and actually own your shit, and she's not doing that right now. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's just a game. Like, go up there and walk around the house and talk to people. Like, it's not anything personal against Fessy and Haley. It's just, you know what, for my game, I had to do this, and I'm sorry. And yes, that deal we agreed to, I agreed to it because if you won HOH, I wanted to be protected. But when I won, hey, you know, I've got greener pastures and other agreements that I've made with other people. She did not out her alliance, though, in doing that. And I thought that was well done in that speech.
Yeah. And she seemed almost angry that they made a Final Four deal with her. She says, a day late and a dollar short. That's what my mom said. That raised flag for me.
I feel like that's typical of the Big Brother house, Taryn, where they try to demonize the people who they're against because they want to feel good about
this was your fault.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was your fault. You're a bad person. You played a bad game. And so that's why I'm putting you on the block because it makes Angela feel like, you know what? I'm not a bad person.
Yeah, why did you wait 60 days to make a deal with me that I'm going back on? If you didn't wait so long, I wouldn't have gone back on it.
Yeah, Angela does this more so than anyone else in the house. It is a very common thing in Big Brother. We saw it first with Rachel. She was betraying her best friend in the house, Rachel, and she had to Rachel's crazy. What is she even doing with her life? She's the worst. And then she had to do it to Bailey because she had a close relationship to Bailey, and now she feels guilty for them. And so at the start of her HOH reign, it was, I feel bad. I don't know if I can do this. And then over the course of the night, she became more and more convinced she had to do it, and then every time they came in it was like, now this is really annoying. I can't wait to do this to just get them out of my room. They're so annoying. They're constantly having to reassure me about everything, and it eventually culminated in the speech. She very much is the kind of player that needs to demonize people in order to make the moves that she needs to make, and that's why she's Ice Queen. Okay. Angela,
let me ask you this about Angela, Brent. Is it a selling point for you that she smells like a baby?
Yeah, I'm sure. So that's what I want.
That's a weird thing. I've never been like, this woman, Taryn, she smells just like a baby.
Hey, girl, you smell. I feel like that's not real. You smell like a real baby right now. It's making me go to sleep.
That is somebody who has not been a father or has not been around babies. If you say stuff like that, I mean, like, there is nothing fun about a baby. God, yeah. I didn't get that at all, Taryn. What show am I watching?
I just want to be near your baby smelling body. Oh
God. And I don't like, not for nothing, but he's going on about her in the diary room. I'm like, physically, I get it. But he was going on
one thing about, like, and we have so much in common.
Yeah. It was just like, it was just,
she's like, got a killer body.
He just wants to bang her. That's all it is, I swear.
I feel like we fit together like a puzzle piece. How dare you? Disgusting. Real cute. You know Caitlin's watching the show, Tyler. Why do you have to bring up a puzzle?
Yeah, it's, you know, what would you do? You're lying in bed next to a fitness model. You smell babies. What are you going to do?
Oh boy. All right. Let's take some questions and then we'll talk some live feeds here on a Sunday night. This is a nice tweet from Philip4080 at Rob Sestrino. I'm having such a good time laughing this week on BB20. Love your Fessy impressions, Taryn Armstrong. Love you, One Lucky Gay 2 on RHAP. Brent, I really feel like that this has been the season that Taryn's impressions have emerged.
Well, I think it helps, and no shade at Taryn. I think he's done a wonderful job, but I mean, to have somebody who's such a caricature in Fessy in the Big Brother house, who talks like he does and acts like he does, I feel like is, low bar, but I do enjoy it, though.
Brent, you're too little too late here with the compliments. I am going to be putting you on the block.
No, it's actually a dollar short.
Exactly. More than a dollar short here. It's weird. I honestly don't even like look at it as impressions. Like I just, it's in my head is just like, that's the voice that I have for them in my head. And it's not even close to what his actual voice sounds like. Mm-hmm. So it's really more just me making fun of people.
Totally. Yeah. That's the truth is that I feel like that's how he talks. Like when you're going about, when you're saying what he's saying, it's not an impression so much as that's Fessy to us.
You know? I'm trying to get the essence of his character
is more important than the voice. So that's what makes it fun. Let's take some more questions. This is one from this is a good question about Dr. Will. Who had the better strategy from that Survivor guy? Will in season 2 getting everyone to fast or JC fattening everybody up?
I guess Will in season 2, because I think that's the one I would probably like more. This, again, I can't even believe that we were even talking about this. This was such filler part of the episode. And I saw someone in the chat. Someone in the chat is like, did someone piss in Brent's Cheerios today? Why is he so mad? I'm like, because this segment was gross, number one. And I feel like the people are pissing me off in the house. And even Angela, who I like, is not owning her ice queenness. I need to see more. I am not entertained yet.
I have an opinion on this one. I love Dr. Will, but he actually failed to get people to fast.
It made people not like him. It made people feel like, boy, if he can make people fast in the house, then he's dangerous. So
yes, but JC has been succeeding at making people eat and gorge themselves all season long. So
I feel good. He's making like they're making that emotional connection of like, oh, when my hunger is satiated. I like that. I have that association with JC, like Pavlov's dogs.
Yes.
That's why he feeds them Reese's Pieces.
He just shoves ice cream in things that ice cream doesn't belong in.
That's why he had the scooper that whole time. That's how he was getting ready to serve everybody the ice cream. It was a misunderstanding. Nikki wants to say, what type of walls do you guys have up? Pebbles, boulders, or mountains? What was that about Angela that she puts up?
Yeah, she was like, I have like walls built up, like an entire boulder. I'm like,
I can tell from watching your diary rooms.
Yeah, right?
Like, I would much rather get out of this week scotch-free, but...
Okay, I hope this becomes a thing. Angela saying weird things in the diary room. I hope that's
that would be fun. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. What was on some of the house guests next tonight? Mary is asking. Did you guys catch that?
I did not.
Okay, somebody send us a screenshot about this. Okay. Anything else that you guys are seeing on Twitter that you want to touch on before we get to live feeds?
I don't know. I think we're pretty good. I mean, everything was pretty straightforward from Level 6's point of view about who they were going to put up. And, Sam wasn't really part of the episode. And, the thing about JC is he wanted to make sure, as he said in the diary room, it's great to hear him verbalize that actually, that he didn't want to hit the block any way, shape, or form this week in terms of being a replacement nominee or an initial nominee. And that's great. But I feel like the difference between JC and the other members of the house, specifically Level 6, is that they're not just playing for that. They're positioning themselves in the house correctly. And I feel like right now he's just trying to make sure he's safe, and that's not good enough. And I feel like he needs to change his game moving forward in order to better his position within the Big Brother game.
Okay.
There was one question from L Anonymous who wanted to know, will the house guests start leaving more strategy-based goodbye messages after the jury buyback? Which I do think is interesting because we haven't seen any of the reveals yet of like, guess what? There's been an alliance from day one. Like, they love those reveals and we haven't gotten any of them yet. Do we think that the house guests will finally start doing them once the jury battle back actually happens and they don't have to be worried about it anymore?
Good deal.
What do you think, Taryn?
I hope so.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was a question. I think it's it's a good possibility. We got plenty of that last season where people were revealing things, specifically Josh, along the way about what was really happening in the house. I think the smarter people in the house are like Tyler realized that, you know, it's not a good idea to say it early on. I do feel like he will own it as time goes on because that was a winning strategy for Josh last year to say, you know, hey, this is why I did what I did. These are the people who I was working with. It was nothing against you. Girl, bye. And they, you know, at least they understood where he was coming from. Mm-hmm. I know that that's not why he won, but, you know, from a shallow point of view, it could be seen as one of the reasons why he did.
Yeah. So I don't think it's necessary for anybody to come in and sort of, you know, give the, you know, CSI, like, here's how I, you know, I got right, it all accomplished. Right. But I think that what Paul did, which really rubbed people the wrong way, was that he was still lying in the diary yes. room message or in the goodbye message. Messages, right? As opposed to Paul didn't need to come out and say, okay, here's what the whole thing for day one. And then say, hey, you know what, Brent, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't have your back this time. I had to get you out. You were a good player.
You were too good. You were too good. So, I couldn't be you and I wanted to win. That's so, all he had to do last year was be honest with people like Alex, who was going to campaign for him in the jury. And that's the mistake people need to not make this year right. is they just own themselves in the goodbye messages. You know what? And not only that, they can do it in such a way where they do what Tyler did with Bailey. Where they give it up to the person who they're talking to. Like, you know what? You were just too good. Yeah, you were a big dog like me. I had to get rid of you. And that makes the people feel good about ultimately voting for them in the end.
Did she smell like a baby?
I don't know. I don't know. There might be good reason for that. Okay. I don't know. I think that we're past that now. I don't know, but I feel like we are.
All right. So, yeah, just don't be like... I don't know what happened. This is crazy. If you're seeing this, what? That's not how
I'm going to miss your nipples.
Yeah, I'm going to miss your nipples. Okay. All right. So let's get into talking about the live feed. If you are bouncing out now, Summer Stein coming up on Monday. We'll be back again live after Wednesday night's show and then the big Thursday night eviction show this week. Should be a lot of fun as well. And with that, let's get into talking about the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Oh, JC, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. All right. Let's get into talking about the spoilers. And Taryn, it was a long weekend on the veto competition.
Yeah. As I sort of alluded to earlier, the veto competition, the feeds were down for close to 10 hours for this veto competition.
Did you run errands?
I just lived my life, Rob.
Living his best life.
And there's not a lot to catch up on when I stopped living my life. The feeds were down for a very long time for this veto competition. It was an individually timed kind of thing, but it was particularly lengthy, obviously. And Casey is going to end up as the victor of the veto competition.
Rob, I have to tell you, my favorite comment on Casey winning the veto came from Amanda, Big Brother Rozzy on Twitter, who said, Casey won the veto. We waited 10 damn hours for the couch to recline. Like, I can't believe out of everybody, freaking Casey wins the veto. And apparently she beat Fessy by 1 point. It was some weird competition, Taryn, where they're like catching balls and sometimes the balls were squid. I don't know
sometimes
what they were.
The balls were squid.
Yeah, or tentacles, or they weren't really balls.
Very like slimy.
Yeah.
There were four different sides coming and you had to guess which one had the ball and you had to go run and catch it or something. Yep. And she she beat him by 1 point.
It's interesting, and maybe this goes on the feeds, but I felt like coming into the house where we got like the package at the start of the season where Fessy's like, hey, I'm a football player, I'm a wide receiver, and then Casey was also a football player, and I think that she also played receiver, and,
yep.
and I thought that those two would have bonded over this, but it seems like that connection really never was there.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, maybe it was the people he was hanging out with. I've said from the beginning that I felt like she was on the wrong side, but she has proven to be an effective player in the Big Brother house, and obviously the effective side in the Big Brother house is the level 6 side. So it appears that she chose wisely, as they would say in Indiana Jones. But I feel like that more than anything, she knows how to keep her word and knows how to stay calm when the going gets tough, which mm-hmm. is not necessarily true of Fessy and people like that. So she's in some ways she's always bonded with like Tyler and Brett and the more jock kind of people in the house.
Well, my theory on why Casey and Fessy didn't bond is because Casey's name is not Haley, unfortunately for her. And so that was a big issue for her. And then and of course, Swaggy was the guy that he bonded with. Like, those are the only two people Fessy has ever really had a personal connection to. All of the other people were like people that were brought in by others that he had a relationship because they were had a relationship with Haley, or they had a relationship with Swaggy. It's all right from the get-go. It's Swaggy's my boy, Haley's my girl, I'm gonna run with this.
What about Caitlin? Where'd she figure in?
Well, Caitlin was his original. Okay, sorry. I'll give the full timeline. First, Angela was gonna be his girl. That failed. Then Caitlin was gonna be his girl. Then he decided Haley was a better option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was the trajectory.
Okay, so it was still so at least a third person along the way.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. And Rob, what I was going to say about Fessy being beat in this veto competition by Casey, I think it's very apropos because number one, a woman put him on the block. And number two, a woman beat him in the veto competition. And if you remember last week, he didn't pay the women any mind. He was mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'm going to put up two strong guys. I don't care about these women. I can beat them in anything. It doesn't matter. And I thought it was very, very cool, even though I don't really like Casey as a person on my television screen, that he got beat by a woman who he really didn't take seriously in the game up until now. So he's kind of like, as Taryn noted, the Eeyore moment where he's like, you know, I'm feeling bad and I don't want to be here anymore and this is a stupid game. And he was feeling good up until the veto competition because I think he thought he had it in the bag.
Because he felt like he was going to have his white knight moment for Haley. He would win the veto, take her down, and then
or himself, yeah. But he thought he was going to win for sure.
He wasn't going to take himself off the block.
I don't know. I'm like Taryn. I would like to have seen that if he won the veto. Who was he going to save? But here we are. He's lost the veto and he's probably going home.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to see the veto ceremony tomorrow. Is there any drama heading into the veto ceremony, Taryn?
Not particularly. They're pretty convinced that there's not much they can do to convince Fessy or to convince Casey to use the veto on Fessy or Haley. They are trying a little bit, but there's nothing they can do.
They're trying to get Casey to see that she is third on the on the bottom of the trio of Tyler, Angela, and Casey. It's again, this is what frustrates me about Haley is it sort of escapes her mind, like, oh my God, isn't Brett in that foursome that I just saw, and now she's thinking about it as a trio. So there's no chance that Casey's going to use the veto. It's just a matter of, you know, when they find out at the veto ceremony tomorrow. I was going to say that after the nominations came in, you know, it was the moment where I could start rooting for them again, Rob, because they realize Fessy particularly and Haley both realize how bad of a move it was to nominate Scotty last week. I mean, they basically looked at the camera mm-hmm. and said, this is why we're so bad at the game. We actually nominated our own allies in the game. We should have kept Scotty.
Yeah.
And they went over all the bad things that they've done. Haley outing herself as a hacker, Rockstar showing Tyler the answer. So I'm at a point where even though I am standing elements of level 6,
mm-hmm.
I can still root for Haley and whoever ultimately comes back from Faute. I feel like it's a losing cause, but I just want them to win one HOH. That's all I want.
Just
I want one HOH to put. Look, this is what Evil Dick tweeted this like earlier today, and I'm so with him on this. Like, I just want Tyler to get knocked down one peg. That's what I want. Because
what
even
does that look like? What is
he was on the block for like 9 minutes when the hacker mm-hmm. named him as the nominee. That's not enough for me, Taryn. I want more.
Brent is like, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
I know, right?
You can't escape from them.
Well, I did feel bad for them when they realized that they screwed up. And they, I mean, Fessy was good natured about it up until the point when he lost the veto. And now he's sort of whining about it.
Okay. And Fessy is going to be the person who is going to get the votes on Thursday.
That's the thing. And I, you know, if you listen to the episode tonight, they described it as, well, Haley's the brains and he's the brawn. I'm like, wouldn't you want to get out the brains? I feel like there's a discussion to be had, but apparently there is not a discussion. They're going to vote him out.
Yeah, it does seem crazy, Taryn, because then even if Scotty and Fessy were both in the house at the same time, if he was the one that came back in, or Rockstar and Fessy, I wouldn't be as worried about any of those combinations as if Haley was with the person who came back from the jury.
Yeah, and I feel like they're not really thinking about it in those terms, and I do feel like they should be. They're expecting a battle back enough that I feel like they should be thinking about that possibility. You know, obviously, Fessy at this point realizes if Scotty came back into the house, he'd need to work with him. But at this point, without Haley's influence, if Haley's gone and it's just Fessy in the house and Fessy is going to Scotty like, we need to stick together, we need to be together, I think Scotty will take one look at Fessy, who is against the entire rest of the house, and be like, you really think I'm going to jump on that sinking ship?
Right.
Like, I'm going to try and work my relationship.
I'm getting revenge against you, Fessy. I'm mad at you.
Like, and that's what he should, like, he should play that up, try to work with his relationship with Tyler. And then, like, he doesn't have a lot of options, but I doubt he's going to just jump straight on board with Fessy, somebody he doubts he can trust in the first place. I do think ultimately he would probably work with Fessy, but there's much less of a chance. And it's also the kind of thing where, like, Scotty will do whatever Haley tells him to do, whereas, you know, he could end up, you know, he could be like, oh man, I realized how much I love Haley after I left the house. And Fessy could just be like, oh, this guy, I need to get him out. But then he'd be like, I can't go out. No, I need to go out, Scotty. I need to go out first. I need to go to the jury house before Scotty does.
We can't put Brett on the block.
Yeah. It's just, it'd be a huge mess with Scotty and Fessy in there. And with Scotty and Haley in there, they will be super tight. And it will be like nothing changed.
Now, Brent, do you feel like that level six might be affected by the way that the Caitlyn week worked out, where that was going to be a power, the power app was going to be used, that she was going to potentially go out and come back, and then she just went out? Do you think that maybe they're sort of like, well, there could be a thing, but I guess maybe it'll just, you know, work out in our favor again?
Yeah, I think the thing is that Tyler and Brett, who seems to have watched a few different seasons at least, even though he was recruited on Instagram, they are fans of the show enough to the point where they're playing it like, look, you can't predict what's going to happen in the Big Brother house. I do feel like, though, that they should, I'm with Taryn on this, they should be playing as if this is going to happen, because you know that the season's length is set. Tyler knows this as a fan. He knows that they need to have a double eviction. Maybe he's looking at it from the perspective of, oh, I guess they just won't have a double eviction anymore. But you know they always want that. They have one every season. So
yeah,
I feel like
we were on the outside and we didn't know that until
and we didn't
recently.
Get a jury. I know, yeah, but I would have predicted this. Once Caitlyn didn't solve the puzzle, I knew that there was a very high likelihood of a jury buyback. And I would be playing that way in the Big Brother house, to the point where I would try to massage whoever I evicted in the fourth position to be somebody who, well, is ultimately not going to, you know, come back in and work with the person who I leave in the house. You don't want those people working together. As Taryn noted, if Scotty comes back, it's going to do exactly what Haley wanted. Where if it's Scotty and Fessy, he might be a little bit more malleable to doing what level six wants.
I also think, regardless of the battle back, Haley is the bigger jury threat. She is pretty, she's pretty on par in terms of competitions. I think they've won a similar amount of competitions. And she's much more difficult to manipulate. Even if they assume there's no battle back, I think that leaving Fessy in the house is a better option. I think that Tyler would be able to manipulate him pretty easily.
Okay. let's not get distracted with the Faute sideshow. Let's start to focus our attention on the level six and JC side of things. Okay, Taryn, what's been the latest movement in terms of how that group of five is headed towards the end game?
Level six plus JC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there, while the feeds were down, for the veto competition, we did get some, a view of Brett and Tyler in the HOH room, waiting for the veto competition to finish. And that's because, of the After Dark program, which they didn't want to just have nothing for. So the feeds came on for Tyler and Brett, and they were up there for 9 hours just by themselves. So, they had plenty of time to talk about how, you know what? It turns out JC is trying to play us both against each other. That's no good. That guy's really sneaky. And they eventually, come together. They make a final two together. And so what was initially, I think based on what Tyler said in the diary room and what he said in the house, I think Tyler's plan was, and this may not have changed, but it was, final four is JC, Angela, Casey, and himself, at which point, I think he takes out Angela and then takes JC and Casey to the final three. Just again, based on his comments in the diary room on the episode that we saw recently. But now he may be thinking that, he might want to keep Brett around a little bit longer if he does feel like JC is trying to play him and that JC might come for him, because of his, Tangela showmance. So, Brett, I think might have worked his way into, you know, something a little bit better, because it was looking like Brett might leave soon, like pretty soon, but now he might stick around a little bit longer.
I will disagree with that. I feel like this is bad for Brett and unlucky for him as well to be stuck in a room with Tyler for 9 hours. I mean, ultimately, I take your point that, look, maybe I can't read Tyler's mind at this point. I don't know where he's going to eventually come down on, you know, how soon do I want to target Brett? But you, like, I mean, Brett was basically leading them in a study session for the days and what happened when. And I think Tyler was actually sort of surprised by that, that Brett knew as much as he did. I feel like there's no universe where Tyler wants to take him anywhere near the end of the game. I mean, maybe this is just my feeling on it. And I do ultimately feel like that Tyler believes in his relationship with JC. I feel like he is mad at JC for trying to plant seeds of doubt between himself and Brett because he doesn't want Tyler doesn't want Brett to turn on him. But I don't think there's any universe where Tyler takes Brett further in the game than where I thought he would, which is probably sixth place, maybe fifth place. And I feel like that Brett said after this conversation that, you know, I was feeling really nervous about my position within the Alliance and within the game, but I feel so much better now. That's not what I want to hear from Brett, because I do not feel like his Big Brother game is on a path for a winning proposition right now. He needs to realize he's on the bottom of a group of four and use these other pieces up that are off to the side in order to better himself. But right now, I feel like he's going to be like a sheep being led to the slaughter, Rob. And I don't think it's good.
Here's what I like to do. Okay, I've got the both of you here, and I just want to hear that. Let's just give me, how are the rest of these weeks going to go? Okay, so somebody's going to come back into the house. Fessy's going to go home on Thursday, and then it's likely to presume that somebody from level six will get the HOH, and then somebody from Faute will go back out of the house, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Fessy leaves. Let's say Scotty comes back. Scotty could win, and that might change things a little bit. But likely level six is going to
be the other win. one of the two Faute people that are still.
Yes,
in the house.
It will be a revolving door. Scotty would probably leave the following week, followed right out the door by probably Haley or something along those lines. Of course, this could all be, you know, canceled by the one again. The house winning, but these are the most likely scenarios. So then at that point, it's the it's what, six people left. Mm-hmm. They're all going to start to look at Sam, JC, and Tyler might start to look at Brett at that point. That's when Tyler, I think, would start to look at Brett. If Tyler had a say in it, he might take a shot at Brett at that point if he had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. At when? At final six?
at Final Six. I think other people would be looking at JC. I think Angela and Casey would be looking at JC and wanting JC to go. I think Tyler might stick up for JC in that spot and say maybe it's time to take the shot at Brett. And then they'd probably take out Sam and or JC. Probably Sam, again, if Tyler has anything to say about it. And then so on and so forth.
This is all going to be easier said than done because you're going to have the Faute people that are going to come back. And then, fine. It's going to put, you have two people to put up on the block next week. But then when you get down to just one person from the other side, you're always going to have a pawn on there. So they might be working together as a group. But now when you get down to, okay, now just Haley is left in the house. Okay, who's the pawn that's going up on the block against Haley? They're not feeling that great, especially when the veto gets used. And then when it's the four and JC. Okay, now who's going on the block with JC if the level six people are sticking together? So I think that this is going to be hard to untangle for Tyler.
Yeah, I do think a couple of things. Number one, if Scotty comes back into the house, I think that's actually good for level six, because if he wins, I do believe that he would actually put JC on the block with a level six person, in which case they would have the votes to get rid of JC, because Scotty has said in his exit interview that he was going to target JC. Now, that may ultimately change if he comes back in the house and has a talk with Haley. Obviously, Haley would exert influence over him, number one. Number two, though, I feel like that moving down the line, that I don't know where JC goes in this game. Ultimately, I feel like he could be targeted soon or really late. My issue with him is that he doesn't really have, besides Tyler, a really strong relationship with anybody currently in the house right now, which is why I don't feel great about his game. And he said earlier, I think it was yesterday or maybe today, that if he is placed on the block as a pawn, I think he was talking to Haley and Fessy, that he's going to raise holy hell. So if he is used as a pawn, I feel like that will be the breaking point for JC. I don't feel, it basically depends on who the HOH is, who ultimately puts him on the block as a pawn. And I feel like that could break the game open a little bit as well. But I don't know.
The thing that has really been unfortunate for JC is that he was putting a lot of work into poisoning the well with Brett. And he was, as Brett admitted, making Brett nervous. And he was positioning Brett, as Tyler pointed out, to be his new Fessy. And that was great for him because he once again would have two sides kind of warring against each other. And, whoever wins, he can side with that winner. And having Brett would have been huge for him. But Brett getting to sit with Tyler for 9 hours really put a wrench in that plan. And now he's losing grip on Brett. So that's it's a very unfortunate circumstance there.
That's where, like, it feels like Tyler gets all the breaks, man. I mean, I feel like that's where I'm coming from on this, because you saw on the episode tonight when JC and Brett were talking on the bed together, there's been a lot of that over the past like week and a half to 2 weeks. But I feel like, this 9 hours that Tyler got to spend with Brett, basically repairing that relationship and making him feel, basically making him feel satiated in terms of his position within the Big Brother game and within their alliance, I feel like was just a really bad luck for JC.
Now, I also feel like that we have only looked at this battle back in terms of Scotty coming back or Fessy coming back. But I do think it also gets a little more interesting for the level six side of things if it is Rockstar or Bailey who come back into the house, because I do feel like that they both have an axe to grind with Tyler. Brent, do you see it the same way, that that's going to be a bigger problem for Tyler if a pissed off Rockstar or Bailey? And he did make Bailey feel better when she went out of the house. But, you can't forget about that huge confrontation that they got into also.
Well, and she said in her exit interview that he still owes her an apology. So she doesn't feel great about Tyler. I think she feels okay. I think she respects him enough to want to vote for him. But I don't think she feels great about him within the game if she ultimately came back. Rockstar, I don't know. Both Angela and Brett left, scorching goodbye messages for her. So I feel like she would probably go after them. I feel like that Tyler would probably be untouched, even though, we remember that Rockstar did call Tyler Palpatine. I wish she would remember that. She sort of forgot that along the way.
I think I know, right?
And there was always the possibility that Fessy could have a total revolving door and just come right back in the house and win an HOH.
He's so malleable that I think that Tyler...
With Haley there? No, I think if Fessy comes right back in, Fessy, and Fessy wins HOH, he's nominating Angela and Tyler. No two words about it. He's...
Cut to...
Lock it down.
All right, I gotta jump on Periscope. I'm so mad about this. I can't even, Fessy.
I mean, like, I mean, what? I don't know what they would do otherwise. Maybe they could get Sam on the block, but I feel like at this point that everybody knows. I mean, I'll put Haley and Fessy know who's with them and who's against them. They don't. The one fly in the ointment is that they don't know that JC is against them. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. They still think JC is sort of on their side. So if JC gets in Fessy's ear, if he comes back and he wins HOH, he has said to Tyler that if Fessy comes back in and he wins HOH, that I can get him not to target you. Given what JC has been able to do, I'm probably more inclined to believe him, but we'll see. But I think that would be interesting if that happened.
Yeah. With Taryn, Rockstar coming back into the house would be like a ghost. It's like we totally have forgotten about her over these last couple of weeks. And that would be nuts if she came back.
Yeah, I feel like it would tarnish her legacy a little bit.
Maybe,
I feel like
we
reached peak rock star and like we remember her fondly, but if she came back in, she'd like be a non-entity again, and it would kind of ruin the memory.
Yeah, and they're never going to let her get to the end. I mean, she is useless enough where people are like, maybe we shouldn't target her, but the problem is that she has so many friends on the jury, they would never let her get anywhere close to like the end of the games. So,
disgusting.
There's no possibility for her whatsoever in the game.
All right. Let's see. Any other questions from Twitter tonight to get into? I feel like this was a really good discussion as we are closing in. Actually, I believe tonight, 1 month from tonight, Taryn, 31 more days of Big Brother 20. It's August 26th, September 26th. The winner of Big Brother 20 will be crowned.
Yes, very exciting, Rob. This has been such a great season. Here we are, final stretch.
Yeah, it's almost 2 months in the books because I think the season premiered on, I think, the 27th of June. And so here we are. It's August 26th, and the season will end 1 month from tonight. So really, the two-thirds of the way for us watching the show. I know that they are in the house for a week or so before the feeds come up. BB Poltergeist wants to know, what if the battle back was a crapshoot and the returning player turns out to be a Rockstar? Would they do a crapshoot, Taryn?
They did once, so I would not put it past them.
Yes.
I would hope not, though. It was very disappointing.
Yeah. Well, the one thing is that I feel like they know if they want maximum drama, the way they need to do this is to basically have all of the jurors and the active house guests out there together in some sort of competition so that they can talk smack and basically get out their grievances in front of each other. I mean, that's the best way to do it. If you have some sort of shuffleboard 5-minute competition, you're not going to get anything out of it whatsoever.
The time they've done this before, it's like, oh, doorbell rings, who is it? And then, oh, here comes Rockstar, Bailey, Scotty, and Fessy, and like, hey, we're back in the house. Actually, I don't like that they do that, and they're all hugging and
stuff. Yeah, I hate that part. It's all fake,
but I don't like that it's even an opportunity to be like, oh, okay, well, let me tell you something real quick. Like, it wasn't me. I didn't do it.
You're so ticky-tacky, Rob. Come on.
But I feel like that in the purity of the game, what's the point of having a jury and only showing them some things, and then you're going to let them go back into the house, and then people can take advantage of those moments.
I agree. I'm just like, you always, that's the phrase you always use for me.
But I think that's more than ticky tack. But anyway.
Okay. So do you disagree with me that you would like I like it where the evicted house guest has the opportunity to win HOH. Otherwise, it's just
that's what they did when Johnny Mac came back into the game. That's what they did when Judd came back into the game in Big Brother 15. So
like you can win your way back in, but if you win the whole thing, then you come back into the house and you're the HOH. Like that's how I feel like it's the best way to do it.
Sure. Okay. Mindy has a good question. Predictions. Will this jury be more or less bitter than last year's jury? It would be hard to be more bitter than last year's jury. But let's just lock in our answers tonight. Do you think that 1 month from tonight, when we are talking about how the season went down, will we be talking about a bitter jury, Taryn?
Well, that's something we hadn't talked about, is that after Haley and Fessy were nominated, they both talked about how they could not wait to be bitter jurors. They would love to vote for Sam to win the game. They would love to vote for, who's the person who's done the least? Casey. Let's vote for Casey. That would be great to vote for Casey to win the game just because she's done the least. It pisses us off how well Angela is playing. So that seems a bit bitter. And I know that there are people like, oh, it was in the moment, yeah, which is totally possible.
Are you throwing shade at me? Because that's what I was saying.
Well, no, I mean, okay. I think that too, but people are like, it's not even worth talking about. It's not going to...
No, it's worth talking about.
It's worth talking about. Yeah. Because we don't often see, like, it's not like we often see people so openly admitting that they're going to be this bitter. And usually when people are like, oh, I'm going to be bitter, it's like, no, but for good reasons, because right. Mm-hmm. They actually aren't playing a great game. And actually, Casey has been playing a masterful game. But no, they were like, no, intentionally, Casey and Sam have been playing the worst, and that's why we would love to give them the win to make this season such a joke.
So that's the thing, but I'm sorry to interrupt you, Rob, but that's the reason why I don't put much stock in it, Taryn, because they realize, like, they even acknowledge that they're being bitter about it. They're like, you know what, I'm just going to vote bitter. Like, they're playing a great game, but I don't care. Like, I feel like that's not going to stick, because they know it's a bad look. Like, if people are actually going to be bitter, they try to make themselves, hello, Elena, to try to feel better about the fact that they eventually voted the way they did, and they try to make them rationalize it to themselves. And I don't feel like that's what's happening here.
But wouldn't it be the most Fauté thing ever when it's Tyler and Angela in the final two, and they say, that's it, we're bitter. Bitter jury time. That's it. Angela, you will not get our vote. We are voting for Tyler to win because we are a bitter jury.
Yes, that would be great. That'd be so
Fauté. And the rightful winner wins because Fauté screws up the bitter jury vote.
Yeah, I think that's how the season has to end. That's how the story ends.
It's like the... That would be the great way to bring it home.
I do not.
I think the problem is that Tyler, I think it has the Big Brother Canada 6 Kayla problem, where he is scared to take his quote unquote showmans to the end. Because as we saw in the diary room, he's like, I will not let a showmans ruin my game. I'm not going to like get blinded by this. And so I think he's blinded to the fact that Angela is his best chance to take to the final two. But he's like, well, I can't be seen taking my showmans to the final two. How dumb of me would, how dumb it would be if I did that. And so he's thinking about taking anybody but Angela, even though I feel like she's easily the person that he could beat.
Yeah, I think the person who asked this question was probably referring to the fact that Tyler has multiple final twos with a variety of people in the Big Brother house. Obviously, we talked about the fact that he made one with Brett. We know he has one with Sam, with Casey. I'm missing somebody else,
Casey.
Right? JC, thank you. You know, obviously he's not going to be able to uphold these. Now, he may get out of some of these by virtue of other people winning HOH and him, you know, basically washing his hands of it. But I feel like at some point he's going to have to own it. Luckily for him, I feel like his social game and his overall demeanor is enough where they would forgive him, but he needs to play it right ultimately at the end. And I have faith in Tyler's ability to do that.
Yeah. Taryn, the YouTube chat really liked that idea about the Fauté screwing up the bitter jury vote. You could see Fessy on finale night saying, who flipped?
How did this happen?
Wait, you're saying we voted for the better player? What? No!
We weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah. America's favorite player was Scotty also. No.
No.
I mean, he'd have to have a good run.
I know that he's getting a lot of support from people right now. He's going to have to make a run in the Big Brother house.
Fessy heartbreak on
finale. Well, that's true. Yeah. I think the other one would be Brett. I feel like Brett's got a great chance of winning America's favorite player if he's not in the final two. And that would piss off Fessy too.
I don't know why that we are getting so much enjoyment out of seeing Fessy tortured at every turn.
Well, Rob, that's what Twitter wants, is they want Scotty to come back into the house, because then Fessy will be out and Haley will be in the house with Brett and Scotty, and Fessy will not be anywhere able to do anything about it and just be like, the whole time.
And Fessy seems like a nice enough guy. Like, I mean,
at times,
but out of all these, you know, we had all these TMZ I mean, what has Fessy done other than be a stupid idiot? You know, he's love struck, but he's not done anything hateful in this season.
Nope.
He's
a little stalkerish with his women.
He is not grossly misbehaved in the house.
No, not at all. No.
Yeah. So, but People love to see him.
Well, he makes it so easy.
Misfortune.
I was the last person in his corner, and then he did what he did last week as HOH. Rob, even after, the thing we didn't even talk about is after the votes came in and they were playing that HOH competition, he was walking around the house after Angela was HOH going, well, I did really good, right? Like, it was a first unanimous vote of the season. I guess I got out a big target. Like, he was the cock of the walk as far as he was concerned after he got Scotty out, and he couldn't be more wrong.
He's the perfect combination of like massively like over ego, like massive crazy ego, super cocky, and then really whiny when he doesn't get his way. Mm-hmm. So it's the perfect combination to love. Okay.
All right. Well, they said he would be boring in week one, and he's been anything but over the course of this season. So good job finding Fessel. All right. Let's end it there. We've got Summerstein coming up tomorrow, plus Taryn's update. Get your final month of updates of 2018 on Big Brother, barring the sudden return of Celebrity Big Brother. So the march to the finale starts tomorrow with Taryn at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, plus the LFC Roundtable will be back on Tuesday night as well. And then we've got great shows for you guys Wednesday night and Thursday night coming up this week. What else is going on?
I think that's it. I mean, I'm looking forward to the end of a great season. It's broken my heart at various times, mm-hmm. but I feel like the people in the house are most of the people who played the best. I have, but I'm here now, and I'm rooting for some people who I could not have seen myself rooting for, you know, even 2 weeks ago. So that's the way the Big Brother house is, Rob.
Yeah. Taryn, anything else you want to tell people?
Just check me out on Twitch. It's fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. By the way, add me on Twitter. I'm almost to 10,000 followers, and I'm out of Twitter jail. So add One Lucky Gay.
Out of Twitter jail. It's all happening. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Summer Stein coming up on Monday. I record with Eric around like 10 or around 1:30 Eastern time. So if you're listening to this on your way to work on Monday morning and you want to get your questions in, you still got some time. Okay. Thanks so much. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.